morning.
Happy Easter to each one of you. We're so delighted that you're here, and I wanted to take just a moment and give you a few words of instruction about the service. This yellow bulletin in front of you contains the worship service and all the words to the hymn, so you do not need a hymn book. Secondly, I would like it if right now at this time we could invite all of you here in the center to squeeze toward the center aisle. I think we can still get many more people seated if you'll move this way, and there on the sides if you'd move toward the wall. That way many people standing in back can still be seated. And while you're moving, I would remind you who are in the back, if you can't get in here, we do have a television overflow room today that we think is going to be very effective too. One final word. I know we're very, very crowded today, and that's good. The Easter message is what draws us together. It's the glue of life. It's one of the most exciting events of all history, and that's why it's right for us to be here worshiping together. But in the midst of the numbers, I would invite you as you leave today to take a moment and to greet that person to your right and left and behind and in front of, and extend personally the joy of Easter. I would feel very badly inside if a person who was a stranger came here, worshipped, and left without feeling in a tangible way the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's up to you, and that's my invitation. Would you join me now in expectation as the bell choir continues to play for us, preparing us for what God might have for us today.
This glorious Christmas day would certainly be appropriate. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And you're going to be a part of this service, and you'll be a part of the call to worship. Would you stand and look at the responsive reading in your order of service, and we will read this responsively. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, we believe.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let us celebrate. Let us worship God.
Let us remain standing on this joyous Christian Easter morning and confess our faith by reciting together that great vehicle of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found in your service this morning. Let us say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and sitteth into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God, you are indeed the worker of miracles. You take the worst that people can do and refuse to let it be the last or final word. You take the crucifixion and follow it by the resurrection. You go beyond death to life. You turn sure defeat into glorious victory. You turn despair into joy. You conquer sin by loving the sinner. When we fall and fail, you forgive us. You pick us up, brush us off, and send us on our way. You take those who have waged war against you and call them to be your peacemakers on this earth. You guide us through the shadows and the unknown, through our fears and anxieties, and surprise us with truths we forget, that this is your world. We are your children. The eternal good news is that Christ is the Lord, the Son of the living God. He was dead. Behold, he is, as he said he would be, alive now and forever. Nails slicing through love, evoking eternity for us. Jesus breathing darkness, extending light forever like the wind. By this confidence, we welcome the gift of this Easter day. Gray Maundy Thursday trembles and is gone. But from under the crimson blanket of Good Friday, we look up toward Easter's triumphant golden dawn, bathing our bruised world in the Sunday morning hope. And in this confidence, O God, we pray to you the same prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
For you personally, and I believe every one of us are here to allow the Holy Spirit to take this incredible message of the resurrection of Jesus and apply it to our lives, to your life, where you need it most. I don't know your agenda today. I don't know the expectations, the hopes, or lack of expectation or hope that you come here with. But I can assure you, this church has been praying that in these next few moments, the living Jesus Christ will meet us, will surprise us, will touch our life, will heal us and fill us with hope. And that every one of us will leave here saying with David the psalmist, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Our subject matter is very focused. We gather together rather than alone to celebrate the most significant event in the history of the world, the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This Easter worship provides us opportunity again to immerse ourselves, to flood our minds with the basics of our faith. Things we know, but things we love to be reminded of so that we can apply them to new adventures and challenges and needs in our lives. The basics are this, that Jesus Christ is alive. And he's the source of our hope. He's security for the future, even in this uncertain world in which we live. I want to share part of an early church sermon. Perhaps we could call this one of the first Easter messages ever delivered. It's from the book of Acts. And it tells us about this incredible happening that the crucified Jesus had been raised from the dead, a fact that has been stirring human beings for 2,000 years. Listen, though they could charge him with nothing deserving death, they asked Pilate to have him killed. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a tomb, thinking that was the end. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And in that tradition, today we proclaim again the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We who know him, we've experienced him. We know he's alive because he's closer to us than any living friend. The resurrection of Jesus is a documented happening. It's the bedrock of the church's existence. And our choir is going to proclaim this great affirmation in song. I think I was sitting 6 feet higher just with the goosebumps on my back. Isn't it marvelous to gather here together and share something that's true? This is off the manuscript, but appropriate. Recently I was at a Neil Diamond concert, and he's one of my favorite singers, and I was thinking, if you've ever been, the excitement that can come from that very gifted entertainer. But while I was there, I was anticipating Easter Sunday, and I was thinking that we have something Easter Sunday that is not a bubble over when the concert's over. This truth goes on clear to the end of our lives, and as you allow yourself emotionally and intellectually to enter this service, understand it's not a bubble that will pop tomorrow morning. It's true. Knowing Jesus is alive, you see, gives us a priceless assurance. Our sins, yours and mine, against God, against ourselves, against each other. Because Jesus is alive, those sins can be forgiven if we want them to be. Eternally forgiven. You see, we who believe in Jesus as our Savior, we no longer need to fear confronting a holy God, consciously or unconsciously. Claiming Jesus as Savior assures us that on Judgment Day, God is going to pronounce us not guilty. We are guilty, but through faith in Jesus, our guilt is covered over. That's astounding news. We will not have to pay for our sins because Jesus paid the price of our sins, which was death. But then God gave him victory over death. He was raised up, so we share in his victory, and we are no longer under condemnation. Now that's why we rejoice on Easter, one of the reasons. Our Heavenly Father will cover us with righteousness purchased by his precious Son Jesus for us on the cross. That's why we wear crosses. That's why they're at the center of our churches. And nothing can be added to the perfect sacrifice that Jesus accomplished on Good Friday. We don't have to pay money. We don't have to try to live a righteous life. We don't have to offer some superb offering to an angry God. Jesus has paid it all. It would almost be arrogance. It would be faithlessness to try to add anything more to his sacrifice. That's why you don't have to sit here in fear or with a work ethic of trying to please God. Because of Easter, Satan's power to accuse us before God, his demand that we be punished for our lifetime of sinning, that ability on the part of Satan is conquered forever because of Easter. The Apostle Paul records this stirring truth in Romans 8, and I love this verse. Listen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I trust you believe it, because that's our ground for rejoicing. In Christ, we're forgiven. His finished work on the cross is a reason for rejoicing. And again, the choir puts words in our mouths for us through song. from ashes of failure and brokenness and betrayal caused by our acts of disobedience. He offers the world's greatest medicine, which is confession and forgiveness and a chance to start again. He told the woman about to be stoned for adultery, "Go and sin no more," implying her mistake didn't mean her life was over. He told his friend Peter, wallowing in guilt and grief over the betrayal of his friend and his Lord, "Peter, feed my sheep. Get on with your life. You blew it. I forgive you. I still have things for you to do." Dr. Packer reminds us that all of God's great spiritual leaders, and I would add the not-so-spiritual great leaders like you and I, we have all failed. However, in their anguish and in ours, in the anguish of failure and guilt, we can rediscover God's mercy. Utter helplessness enables us to take a fresh hold on God's unconditional love, which extends a hand of resurrection back to usefulness when we think there is no chance to start again. You see, those who never made mistakes never made anything. Resurrection to new beginnings is what God does when we have done everything we can do and it's not enough. That's good news. Many of us right now are in church on Easter morning, locked in guilt and remorse and brokenness, scratching to see if there's any hope that God could love me and touch me and start me over again. We have areas in our lives of which we're ashamed, areas that seem dead and scarred and beyond repair. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want to proclaim to you who feel like that, God works best in a graveyard, in the graveyard of our hopelessness and failures and sin. And the more unworthy you feel, the more welcome you are here, you see. That's how God works. The only people he can't help are the ones who don't think they need help. The hopeless ones, the dead ones, those are the ones he can touch and raise up. The good news of Easter is that God brought you here today to hear more than simply the historical record of Christ's resurrection, but to hear the good news that he wants to resurrect you through faith in Christ from personal brokenness. He wants to give you a new beginning as you walk out that door today. That's what mercy and grace and the power of the church are all about. You see, that kind of news gives everyone hope, if we dare believe it. You see, today, your Heavenly Father wants you to believe something. You have a tomorrow after all. And I'd like us to confess this hope together. Could we all stand, turn in your hymnals, so because he lives, we can face tomorrow. You may be seated. I trust the Holy Spirit will carve the truth of that hymn into our minds and hearts, and we'll take it home with us for this next week. A third implication of Christ's resurrection has to do with those people who choose not to respond to the message of hope and forgiveness. And if we're going to be consistent with God's word, as a pastor, I must mention this on Easter morning. Another truth of Scripture is as inescapable as God's love, namely the reality of divine judgment. And yet that truth really is not a total surprise, even to the greatest skeptic. Most of us have an inner sense that somewhere, someday, we're going to have to give an account for our lives here on earth. Listen to Jesus. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, and their men will weep and gnash their teeth. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him. As Christians, we celebrate today our confidence that Jesus has delivered us from the wrath of God. That's what we've been proclaiming, the awesome future reality of divine judgment. Because we know Jesus, we know God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so right in the center of our Easter service, we appeal to you who do not know Jesus. On this Easter morning, reach out a hand of faith and respond to his forgiving love. One fact is inescapable. Everyone eventually will encounter Jesus. Depending on our choice, we meet him either as Savior or as Judge. And today we've asked a person to sing a solo that I hope will highlight these facts and help us ponder them in our hearts as she explains how Jesus desires to raise us up and to make us whole. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. So the decision is really up to you. Perhaps the most relevant message of Easter is the glorious affirmation of hope and how desperately people need hope today. Easter affirms that God is still in control of this world. He's still in control of what's going on in your life and mine. Evil and death, says Easter, are defeated enemies whose power is limited by our risen King. Easter affirms that one day evil's power to hurt and profane and distort will be smashed forever. Christ as King with his kingdom is coming. One day injustice and hunger and oppression and nuclear arsenals and brokenness in marriages and poverty and death and dying, all of these fruits of sin one day will be broken and conquered forever. A new world is coming. That's a basic bedrock of Easter. Jesus is King. Here, as John the Apostle describes this new world, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them, and he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, for the former things have passed away." The choir is going to proclaim some facts about that great day coming.
Thank you.
Perhaps a final gift Easter can provide for you to take home is the personal dimension of comfort. Because we're human beings, it's important we find some news about the meaning of life and death and mortality. When it comes time to deal with the death of one we love, and perhaps some of you are dealing with that even today, or with our own death, Jesus offers the greatest resource in the world, and we can believe it because he's alive. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Whether or not you believe that truth has everything to do with how you will face the loss of one you love and how you will face the day of your own death. Several weeks ago, my wife and I were walking on the beach in the Monterey area and had the misfortune of discovering the body of a fisherman that had washed up in the surf. Waiting almost an hour for the sheriff to arrive, we had time to ponder our own mortality, the brevity of life, the reality of death so vividly there displayed before our eyes. And those moments filled us with gratitude that we knew Jesus, we had an Easter hope, and that the end result of a human being is more than a body washing back and forth in the surf. We were grateful for our Easter confidence that assures us, because our Savior lives, we will live also. That physical death isn't the final word. When you walk away from the grave of a loved one, that's not all that God has to say to you. That certainty enables us then to face the reality of our own approaching death with hope. Resurrection means death cannot eternally separate us from those we love. And Jesus wants us to believe that. Perhaps you have lost loved ones recently and know what I've experienced so many times, that you think you see the face of one you love in the crowd, or you have a dream, or you sense their presence, and if you were a non-believer, you'd have to say, that's nonsense. They couldn't be alive. But because we're Christians and know our beloved who's passed on as a Christian, we can believe, yes, they are alive, and one day we're going to see them again. Listen to Paul express this anchor of our souls. "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up." And I hope that will happen through the Holy Spirit as we hear the Easter song. Confront your guilt, your feelings of failure and hopelessness with the message, "He is risen." Confront the grief that you feel over the loss of one you love desperately, and confront it with the message, "He is risen, and because he lives, we will live also." Confront your fear of the future of this world with the news, "He's risen and the King is coming." Confront your own fear of death with the news, "Let not your heart be troubled. He is risen." Here's the final word. "For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And we say, hallelujah, let's stand and let the choir sing it for us.
Amen. Now here's his word for you and blessing for your lives today. This is a great Easter Sunday morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever might believe in him might have life everlasting. That's his good word for you today. Easter is his gift to you. Now go in that gift in the joy and hope of his love and his hope. Amen.